If you're running a business right now, you're playing a game where the rules keep changing. Trade tensions, economic uncertainty, culture wars, the world is rapidly changing around us. And companies, especially independent and local businesses, are having to adapt faster than ever. That's why Mission Critical is evolving. We're diving deep with the founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs who are navigating this chaos in real time. The ones making the tough calls, pushing through unpredictability, and proving that resilience isn't just a buzzword, it's a survival skill. How do you scale in an economy that feels like it's on shaky ground? What happens when US policy shifts send shockwaves through Canadian industries? And in a world where diversity, healthcare, and economic resilience are becoming battlegrounds, how do businesses double down instead of backing down? These are the real conversations that matter to business leaders right now. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical. Let's get into it. Today's guest knows what it means to disrupt the status quo. Karine Chambersaini is the co-founder and CEO of Diva, the Canadian company that put menstrual cups on the map long before the femcare space was even a thing. They created an entire business category on their own. Now, while most brands steer clear of the stigma around menstruation, Karine leaned in using her platform to advocate for body autonomy, women's health, and sustainable solutions, way before it was fashionable to do so. Now, more than two decades later, Karine is still challenging the status quo with Diva's latest product line expanding to vulvar health. She's bringing the same relentless focus on science, accessibility, and cultural change to a category that remains under-discussed, underfunded, and censored. And she's doing it in a time when women's bodies have become political battlegrounds, where words like vulva and menopause are still treated as provocative, even as access to basic healthcare is being rolled back. Today, we're diving into what it takes to lead in a category you had to invent from scratch, the exhausting work of advocating for research and respect in women's health, and what happens when business collides with a culture that still thinks your body is a political statement. So, is the business of women's health still a battleground? And how far are we from treating it like essential care instead of a taboo? This is Mission Critical. Let's get into it.
Karine, how are you? It's so nice to see you meet in person. How are you?
I'm so good, Lance. Thanks so much for having me here today.
I'm so excited for our chat because I think we've like kind of known each other informally and we've had an interview before, but never kind of like in a podcast format and never in like an in-person format. So, and I've just been following your business journey for a number of years and just seeing the impact that you have in the community and with everything that you're doing. And it's so great. We need more businesses like yours.
I appreciate that. It's really seems full circle.
Yeah.
So from 5 years ago when we were working on our documentary and we had that chat about that and just so much has happened. The world's changed so much. So I think it's really interesting to just be in business in general right now. And
the world continues to change on an hourly basis, it seems like these
basically.
Days. Just to set the context and set the scene, are you able to just introduce yourself and your company in just like a one sentence elevator pitch?
Oh, gosh. That's always tough for me. My name's Karine Chambersaini. I'm the CEO and founder of Diva, makers of the Diva Cup, which is our flagship product that changed the world over the last 25 years, founded with my mother, Francine. That's not the whole elevator pitch, but it's so hard to put everything, but what we do is we stand for menstrual equity, making women and menstruators' lives easier with our life-changing menstrual products. And now we'll be talking later on about some other things that we're doing. So we're really excited.
I love that. I mean, yeah, hard to summarize everything in a sentence, but you know, we're going to unpack a lot of stuff throughout the course of our conversation. I kind of want to just dive into it, actually. Why do you think it is that in 2025, in a year like this year, the word vulva can still get your ad banned, but something like, you know, erectile dysfunction is a punchline, can be seen as a punchline on primetime TV? Like, what's happening here? What's the situation? And why do you think that there is still so much stigma around that?
I mean, being in menstrual products and starting with our product, the Diva Cup, was actually a reusable menstrual product used instead of a tampon or pad. It's a cup. So we've been in menstruation and periods for 25 years now. And basically from that, we know how much this like menstruation has been completely stigmatized, and we've like worked really, really hard over the years to try to educate and change the narrative on that. And we're seeing that now, like moving into other wellness products, into other areas. And we can't say the word vulva without being banned, because there again, it's like, it's just expanding into the stigma of anything that has to do with a woman's body seems to be stigmatized. Mm-hmm. And I always say, I feel like a lot of people will probably agree that if menstruation and these things actually happen to men's bodies as well, they probably wouldn't be stigmatized in the same way, and they would probably have solutions. But it's just something that's always, you know, pushed under the rug.
Yeah. Well, when you think about, you know, kind of building on that, a lot of men's health topics get science and research, and a lot of women's health topics get stigma and don't get the same, like, vast disproportionate amount of research is done and kind of viewed through the lens of men's health versus women's health, these, you know, up until like today. So do you think that that's because men's bodies are not politicized in the same way that women's bodies are, or where do you think that is kind of like the root and the foundation, that from your perspective as a business owner?
I mean, it's definitely a piece of it. Absolutely. And I think when we look at history, women have, and their bodies have always been kind of viewed as less than and dirty. And even around the world, there's still a lot of cultures that don't allow a menstruating woman to go into a holy place or to prepare food in the kitchen. And so it's like so deep rooted into cultures around the world, and we just are still working on it. We're still trying to break that down and really empower women and all those who bleed. We like to talk about obviously being inclusive to not all those who menstruate, identify as female. So when I say, when I say women, I also want to include those who don't identify or non-binary, that have vulvas, have vaginas, and we're able to say those words freely. And I think that's a lot of the education that we've tried to do around Diva, is just being right out there and saying, yes, here's a cup. It's for your menstrual blood goes in it, and, you know, it goes inside your vagina, and it, you know, now, and then the vulva, like, we're trying to teach women the vulva is a separate part than the vagina, and teaching that basic anatomy isn't even really known.
Right.
And even from doctors, like, you know, going way, way back when we were first doing medical trade shows and meeting doctors, a lot of doctors were like, well, isn't that going to fill with urine? Like, they don't even understand the basic anatomy. I'm not even kidding. That is not an exaggeration. That happened many times from medical professionals over the years. Maybe, hopefully, it's different now. But I'm talking, like, 20 years ago when we were really starting this and trying to talk about how to use a cup, like, we had to spend all of our time and energy just doing basic anatomy education
on to doctors even.
Yes.
That blows, you know what, that simultaneously blows my mind, but also I'm like just also not that surprised either. Like, both things feel like they're true to me, and it's just wow, that is. So you've been on a journey as a business owner then.
Yeah.
Not even just with your consumers, but also just for medical professionals, because it's all part of the same ecosystem.
Yeah, and even more surprising was most of the buyers we met when we were starting out were men, and they weren't younger men. They were like gray-haired men that had been in those roles for probably 20 or 30 years. So all the decision makers that are deciding on what menstrual products and what assortment to have on shelf, like, we had to overcome that as well. And we were literally laughed out the door from if we could even get a meeting. When we did get meetings, most of them couldn't even make eye contact with us. and they were so embarrassed, and they were like just trying to avoid the whole discussion. It was unbelievable, really, what we had to overcome. It took us 11 years to even get our first mass market account.
Wow. So you put in the work. I mean, speaking of that, so you launched Diva over 20 years ago with your mother, and it was long before, I mean, to your point, the feminine care space became, you know, or there were even any players even in that space.
Yeah.
And kind of reinforcing what you've also just said, before a time where that was even culturally acceptable to be talking about these things, what gap were you really trying to fill back then? And how did you overcome that challenge of having to break down those walls and those stigmas and taboo with not just your consumers, but also like the other B2B players in the space?
So yeah, it was really amazing starting this business with my mom back in whatever, 2001, we started kind of working on it, and coming out in the early 2000s with a product like this. There was nothing like it. There was really no reusables category. So we had to overcome kind of the ick factor of the reusables, but we also had to kind of pave the way for this category that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily, I think we were very optimistic, and we were kind of boots on the ground, just full of grit and would stop at nothing. Like, we were so passionate and we believed so much in what we were doing that, yes, the no's were hard, but it just was like, yes, we will show you. We knew that this was something really special because it changed our lives. Mm-hmm. And it was something that my mom had been dreaming of since she was like 13 or 14 years old, just saying there has to be a better way for women. Like, this can't be it. Mm. And we would really wanted to stop at nothing to get this concept out there. And there's just so many things we had to overcome.
So fast forward to today. I mean, first of all, that's an incredible story, and also just a testament to you and your mother and your team and just kind of the entrepreneurial spirit and underscoring just the pure conviction that you had in your vision and product. And yeah, kudos to you on that. That is, I admire just that journey. And I know that it's not, I can't even fathom how difficult it's been. So yeah, kudos to you on that. So fast forward to today, you recently entered a new chapter in the business, expanding into VulvaCare. What problem are you solving today in that area that is still being ignored, and why was that an area that you felt needed to be, you know, explored and entered into?
I think the journey into VulvaCare really, it's the next evolution that just makes sense for our brand and what we stand for. And I wish we could have done it sooner, but I will say that because we were a very scrappy kind of self-funded company all along, we didn't have big budgets to just scale up with, you know, big teams, big marketing budgets. Mm-hmm. And it was challenging. And we had a huge thing to overcome in the marketplace with even just the acceptance of the cups. But we have had this vision. And actually, after my mother retired about 6-7 years ago, my husband came into the company and we were working together to strategize, okay, what's the next step for Diva? What can we build on? And really looking at our customers' needs and seeing that we have so many women coming to us telling us all their personal details because of their experience with the cups and saying, well, you know, I have dryness, I have this, I have that. And how can we support them through these different cycles and be their cycle care partner? Mm-hmm. And that just kind of sparked the idea that we just needed to build and take the same values that we held so closely with through Diva into this next chapter. Mm. And really identify that there's a need. Women aren't really able to talk about it. Most of the products on the market are full of parabens and toxic chemicals and endocrine disruptors. And again, another opportunity for us to continue our mission with breaking down stigmas and taboos and talking about and prioritizing women's self-care.
Yeah. Incredible journey. What do you think, you know, because there is such an educational component, obviously, with, like, men for 100%, but also, like, did you find that there was a barrier along your business journey in terms of educating women about your product? And how did you kind of approach that and overcome that, especially with your flagship product?
Education has always been one of our top pillars and such an important pillar. We wouldn't be here where we are today without having all of the effort and energy we put into education. Mm-hmm. Like we said, like, if the doctors don't even know, I mean, imagine the average woman also doesn't know. Those, we were getting those same questions, and we realized early on that it was very important to invest in education, invest in having proper consumer care and consumer support. So we actually have evolved that into our consumer experience team, which is a very key part of Diva, where they're now expanded from before we had any social media, was mostly email and phone, and now they're also on TikTok and on Instagram and all the different channels, communicating with customers and having conversations, because that's really what we want. We want to have more conversations about their bodies, help them get used to and comfort with the products and enjoy the benefits of the products as well. But that piece is just, the education piece continues to evolve and grow, and I think will always be a key pillar for Diva.
What's, like, the most common or one of the most common questions that you're getting about, you know, whether it's your flagship product or anything kind of like orbiting around that? What's something, or let's say, like, what's a misconception that people still have about that space?
I think a general misconception with reusables in general is that they're messy and they're gross and it's going to leak everywhere and I'm going to have this big mess. And there's a huge fear around that. And the interesting thing is that most people, once they switch to a cup and once they kind of overcome actually getting understanding how it works and how to use it, whether it be the cups, the disc, the underwear, it's actually cleaner. And there's less odor and it's more comfortable and there's more freedom. Like, they can carry through their day. So that's the message that we continue to push. Because I still talk to so many women, like, oh, like, I just, everybody uses them now, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work for me. I don't think it's for me. I'm like, well, you don't know until you've tried.
Yeah.
But there's still that hesitation. I think we're always going to have that thing to overcome.
Well, and this goes back to your point around education and also just, like, normalizing conversation, because the more that people can talk about it, the more that they can, you know, discuss it with their friends or their peers or whatever it might be, the less foreign or scary or unfamiliar might feel to someone, and then the more willing they might be to have an open mind and try something different.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't know if you don't know what you don't know, I guess, right?
I know. Yeah. I know. That's why we did the documentary too. Like, that was probably at that time, there was probably other things we maybe should have been focusing on, but that was something that was a risk that we took, that we felt that story needed to be told. And it's still, everything in that documentary is still relevant today. The stories, it's called Pandora's Box, Lifting the Lid on Menstruation. You can now watch it for free on YouTube if anybody wants to watch it. But it's incredible. It covers the stories across four continents, multiple continents and four or five countries, about these stories, like real life stories of how these things just have blocked women from being able to live their life, from being seen as part of society, from, you know, all of these things. So education, I mean, we already talked about it, but it just continues to be such an important aspect.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on that same topic, if we're talking about stuff like censorship, your products are often flagged or suppressed on social media because of the stigma, the taboo around it, or just whatever kind of flags that a social media platform might have. What impact do you think that has on access to education and health resources and just the overall dialogue and the normalization of these conversations?
I think it actually has a pretty big impact because it's just like, you know, we're trying to be inclusive in representation in media now. And if we're not, you know, across genders and race, but if we're not being inclusive across women's issues and women's products that they need for sensitive products for the vulva or for menstrual products, then we're back in the same boat. And it what we're finding is it's actually very difficult when things are getting blocked and we're trying to support our retail business because the retailers are saying, well, that's like propagating them to even care less about this category because they're saying, well, you know, you're not showing me the results. And yeah. We're like, well, we're trying, but they're blocking the ads. So it's like a cycle, but I think from even all of my experience in sales, a lot of the retailers are still at the place where they see this as an emerging category, but they're still hesitant because they don't really understand the full value and importance yet because the numbers don't match, for example, shaving cream.
Right.
For example, like when you look at the reusable menstrual category and the intimate skin category compared to any other category in the drugstore, it's like a fraction of the size.
Which is actually, when you think about it, just objectively from like a business lens and an economic lens, like it's literally half the population. There's so much potential to, if you're just thinking from a business standpoint, like there's not a lot of opportunity to capture if you're thinking about numbers outside of just, you know, wanting to do like the right thing and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just shows that there's still a long way to go in that conversation.
I definitely think there's a long way to go. And that's why we're excited about this next foray into VulvaCare because it is providing that opportunity and more opportunity to have these conversations and work on that stigma and breaking it down and just providing better, more comfort and solutions for people that need it.
Yeah.
Like that 1 in 4 women suffer with vaginal dryness and itch.
Mm-hmm.
That's 25% of
the women's
all health. Women, yeah. Not even the menstrual category. And this line is also designed to help them through different stages. So they may not need menstrual products anymore, but they can still use the other Diva products. And Diva's become a brand that people trust.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect only the best from us, and we will only give them the best.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in my peer group, what I'm noticing amongst a lot of my like women friends is a larger discussion and more frequent discussion around menopause, but also perimenopause. That's like something that has come up quite frequently in a lot of peer groups. But that conversation still feels fragmented. It still feels like there's a lot of like confusion and like a lot of unknown, a lot of like question marks around it still.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think is missing in how we talk about midlife women's health? Because a lot of my friends that are experiencing perimenopause are like, what even is this and how is this even happening? And I did not realize that this was a thing and life's unfair, you know?
I know. Well, I mean, I am now in that life phase myself. So this has been really interesting going from like, I was like 25 when we started Diva, or not even. And now I was like 23. So I'm coming up coming up there now, but I'm going through all these different phases and experience. There was a lot of things that were happening to my body. I didn't understand what was happening. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting is that through this process, I learned so much, and we're really working to try to relay that information, because it's not just like these hormone changes. There's like the tissue of the vulva, it shrinks by like 95% and all through the sides. Like, you don't know that. So there's a lot more discomfort, and there's mm-hmm, a lot mm-hmm. more issues. And that perimenopause can go on for 10 years. And then we talk about menopause, but menopause is actually one moment in time. Menopause is literally when your period stops, when your menstruation stops, and then it becomes postmenopause.
Right.
So we say, I'm in menopause. Like, we don't even understand as a society how to use the terms properly.
Yeah.
How to even talk about the symptoms of things that are happening, like the brain fog, the headaches. I mean, I've been working with my doctor and a naturopath doing hormone testing, and through that process, it's taken me down like this unbelievable journey. So there is a huge gap, and I hope that Diva can definitely play a part in educating that. But I think it's going to take more than us. Like, we mm-hmm. all need to, you know, a lot more companies need to be forthcoming, and we need to prioritize women's health, because as much as like all humans go through phases, they go through different changes, not like what women are going through. It's not even comparable mm-hmm. to what we have to experience, the changes in our bodies, the changes physiologically, and the mental health impact as well.
Yeah. What has surprised you most about what women don't know about their own bodies through your experience building your business and having these conversations and educating? Have there been kind of any revelations or kind of big moments where you're like, okay?
I think the interesting thing is the perception that there's a lot of menstrual blood that comes out, or like the actual, there's no real measurement or indication of what is a little, what is a lot. Mm-hmm. They might say, well, I mean, tampons were always kind of the benchmark for that. So it would say, your doctor, we would say, I think I have a really heavy flow. And it would be, the doctor would say, well, how many tampons do you fill? But because tampons come in different, from brand to brand, they vary from mm-hmm. Super light. I mean, there's so many different factors, and because of how they work, and the flow isn't actually just liquid like this water, it doesn't absorb the same way. So when women started using cups, it was kind of like this wow, I know that's all there is. Like, there may be after a whole day there's a teaspoon of flow. And for some women, they maybe filled it like four times mm-hmm. in the day. Mm-hmm. So it gives them a lot better indication. But we did try to work with partnered with some research on that called the Flow Study. But that was something really, really interesting that nobody was talking about, is what is a heavy flow? What is a light flow? What is normal?
Yeah, it's all like anecdotal for people.
And I think that's even what we were talking about with perimenopause and postmenopause and even preteens just entering into menstruation. There's no real benchmarks as to what is normal. Mm. We have to do a better job at talking about what's normal, what things are, and normal can also be a wide range of things.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, is there a normal? Because it's so different for different, like, it's different for, like, bodies are different, right?
I think there is a point where it's like, okay, this is not normal, because now you can actually quantify it. And that was something that was really powerful for us and my mom and I over the years, is knowing that women could use the information they were getting from using DivaCup mm-hmm. to go to their doctor and actually being heard. Mm. And we heard so many stories, and like, people that suffer with endometriosis, it takes about 10 years in Canada to be diagnosed on average with endometriosis. I think it's starting to get a little bit better. But when you hear these women's stories, they're just, oh, just take some more pain pills. Like, women's pain has been continuously undermined and unheard for as long as we have been around. And then today in 2025, like, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, we have to do better. And I have a daughter, she's going on 16, and you know, I see how much she suffers and with her period pain, and it's something that we need to continue talking about. And by talking about menstrual products, by talking about the Diva Cup, like, my mom and her, we would be in a sales meeting and she would like throw the cup across the table and like it would like start bouncing around the table, and she'd just try to make light about it.
Sure, sure.
Because and like joke with people and try to bring humor, because we were just so like that we had to do something to try to snap people out of it.
But yeah,
it's opened up, like, through our last 20 plus years of this journey, it has opened a lot of conversations. And like you said, like, even in your friend group, they're talking more about it.
Yeah,
so it's getting there. And hopefully we can continue working on that.
Yeah. You know, your business is, you know, you lead in a space where discomfort manifests in different ways, where, you know, your literal consumers and clients have discomfort with their bodies and want to find ways to, like, alleviate that. But your business category is also, like, one that is, I imagine there's a lot of discomfort, like, that manifests in different ways too. What has that notion of discomfort taught you about being an entrepreneur and leading a business? How has it helped you?
I think it's definitely a unique challenge. We've always known that we're different. We're not marketing food products here, mm-hmm. or something that is just easy to accept. We knew we were always up a lot of hurdles. But what I do really appreciate about our journey is that it has turned it into an opportunity. We have not just educated medical professionals, the buyer communities. We've led this whole category and proved everyone wrong that there was a market for this. There was a need for this. We've changed people's lives who've used our products over the years. And we've also incorporated it into our workplace, where we've created paid menstrual leave and paid menopause leave, as well, for recognizing that our team do have needs, and it should be recognized that they need more time off.
Yeah,
they get up to 12 days a year paid to rest and recover from symptoms related to that, in addition to their sick leave and personal days and all of that. Mm-hmm. And we've used that to create conversations and to encourage other companies to do the same. So I hope in some way we are planting some seeds that can continue to spread. I don't know if it's there yet, but the fact that, you know, in our company at Diva, you can say, I have a lot of menstrual pain today, or I have, you know, hormone related migraine, that no one's going to push you to work through that pain and undermine your pain, that we're actually acknowledging it. And hopefully that will create more conversations with their family. Now they're like, oh, it's okay, I can say that, because that's not what we're taught.
Yeah. Building on that, for brands that are kind of leading or expanding into kind of uncharted waters and going to categories that have not been defined traditionally, what would you say, you know, to those kinds of entrepreneurs about what kind of leader you need to become to build something like a Diva, or like, you know, an XYZ in a different kind of category that hasn't been defined, that still has a lot of question marks around it? What are the traits that you think have come in handy for yourself to build your business?
I love that question. I think it's so important to really know who you are as a company, because when you get into business, no one actually tells you how, first of all, how hard it is, and then you're going to lose a lot of sleep. But also, it's easy to compromise your values. Mm-hmm. It's easy to just say, well, this is the easier way to do it and the cheaper way to do it, even though that may not be what you intentionally set out to do. And I mean, we could easily have our product, like the cups and discs, is still made in Canada all these years. We can get it. A lot of our competitors are made overseas. Mm-hmm. We could get it made for a fraction of the price, but we don't, because we trust the quality and we want to maintain that. But that comes at cost. It's a premium product that affects your strategy, affects your business. So you kind of have to kind of balance and find that happy medium between that without compromising your values. Mm. And as we've been developing the new products, that has been a lot harder than I thought. Also because there's not a lot of options in or regulations surrounding natural products and organic products.
Yeah.
Organic is almost kind of like a loose term.
Totally, yeah.
It's like, but also the raw materials and some of the things that we want to use, it's like, we can't put this on the market for $100. Like, that won't work in our model. So we have to be really creative to find ingredients that are clean, that are purposeful and natural, and using traditional. I like to use a lot of herbs and mm-hmm. and different essential oils and things like that in my own skincare. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that we wanted to put out there. And that does not exist. Like, no one is doing what we're doing. And even when we developed with the new Vulvacare line, we have our proprietary blend, what we call V-Biome, which is a proprietary blend of prebiotics and probiotics that help support the microbiome. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, like, we're coming up with products that actually are doing something. I hate these products on the market that are just like, oh, let's just add all these fragrance and it looks really pretty, and everybody is paying like $50 at Sephora for a lip gloss that's like full of crap that I wouldn't want my own daughter to use.
Yeah.
And that's equivalent to what's basically out there for Vulvacare and intimate skin. And it's not okay. So I know that was a really twisted way, but it's all connected into the values. And we've always prided Diva in being authentic, to being trustworthy, and to do what we say we're going to do. Like, we are going to make a promise to you, and we will stop at nothing to make that happen.
And I think that's what you've been doing. You know, that you have a track record of that over time that proves and demonstrates your commitment to those values and that perspective. So just as a last question here, when you think about legacy, what do you hope Diva and kind of your leadership, where do you think that will stand from 20 years from now? Where, you know, you've had about 20 years of the business, and so where do you think the next 20 years will go?
I mean, I'm really proud of what we've achieved so far and the legacy we've already created. It also comes with like a lot of responsibility, because we want to continue that legacy, and for, you know, my children and mm-hmm. and for the world. I mean, we're going into, like we talked about briefly before we started on camera, that there's a lot going on in the world right now. It's very stressful. It feels like doom and gloom every single day. And, you know, we have to stay strong and we have to come together. And as a business leader, my call out is to everybody to also just stay optimistic. Mm-hmm. We are going to go through a lot more change and a lot more things that are being turned upside down. But it's ultimately, if we all come together, it's going to be for the better. Things are, like, hopefully these toxic ingredients are going to be banned, and there's going to be, it's going to be the norm to have organic food practices and to have better sourcing for our food. Like, I just went through a lot of personal health issues myself, and as much as I take care of myself and I do all those things, and it's made me think about, you know what, we need to do more. And so I definitely think the legacy is just continue what we've done and try to encourage others to do the same.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for this wonderful chat. I think it's so important what you're doing as a company, and, you know, it manifests in everyday conversations with, you know, even the ones that I have with my friends and peers over, you know, a glass of wine and stuff. And it's just, it's there's such a big picture around it too. So, and continues, you know, this conversation continues to be one that is super important, and there needs to be a lot more progress made. And I think, you know, Diva's doing has become a reason why there's been a lot of progress in that space. So
thank you for that. Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed hanging out with you today.
Thank you so much, Corinne.
Okay, thanks, Liz.
That's a wrap on this episode of Mission Critical. If today's conversation gave you something to think about, do me a favor: subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Big ideas are meant to be shared, and the best insights only matter if they're put into action. Until next time, stay sharp, stay curious, and go and make something happen. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical.